Okay, looks like we're recording. All right. Very inappropriate.
Boom.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Guys.
Oh. Yeah.
Guys.
Yeah.
Can we focus?
I am focused. I'm very focused.
Yeah, can we keep the
state of zen?
The sort of guttural responses to.
Have you ever
minimum.
Been in a state of zen, Gerard?
Yeah, I actually have been and continue to strive to be in.
Where were you?
When was
several
this?
Several times a week.
Were you on an island somewhere, a beach?
Yeah, I've been to. I've had a few moments where it definitely involves leisure.
Okay.
Being in a place of leisure. Mm-hmm. Just kind of kicking it, hanging yeah. out in a beautiful place, and all of a sudden you just take a deep breath and you exhale, and you're like, "This is all it ever really needs to be is right here, mm-hmm. simple."
Mm-hmm. How about
state
you?
State of Zen.
States of Zen.
Yeah,
I have had some states of Zen in my life.
Where were you? Was it location related, or was mm-hmm. it?
Yeah, I think mine was definitely location mm-hmm. related.
Mine has been location related, but sometimes I have to say that I've like. Been lucky enough to experience states of like real perspective when I'm like even driving down the street. Sometimes it's happened to me where
you don't
whatever,
black out when that happens.
No, I don't black out or anything.
That's good. That's
it's
good.
Just like I'll be driving or walking or something, and suddenly I'm like, oh my god, we're on a rock in the middle of infinite space. And
you would imagine your head would explode at that moment.
Yeah, but it sometimes can be really calming. And you look at a tree and it's lit the right way, and you're just like, oh, yeah. Oh, I remember now. Oh,
yeah.
Remember what?
That which is unnameable. I remember it. I have a sense of like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember something that I can't quite put words to, but I remember it.
Or you remember what is worth stressing about and what is not worth stressing about.
What's worth stressing about, Robert?
What's worth stressing
what
about?
What is worth stressing about, Robert?
Whoa.
Okay, Brian.
Not in a state of zen right now.
Seriously. Some pressure on me. I'm glad you didn't ask me if I've ever been in a state of zen. But
Robert,
I'll tell
have you ever been
no,
in a state
okay.
of zen?
No, it's okay. I'm going to answer Brian's question first. What is worth stressing about, I'd say, is... anything that concerns your physical well-being.
Mm. And do you need to stress about it, though, or do you need to just act?
No, I think that's something that you need to be aware of mm-hmm. and attempt to... You can be concerned about, but I agree that's a key word right there. Act.
Yeah.
To act upon it. To try to, at least.
Yeah.
Some things you can't. Some things you have no control over.
Yeah.
A lot of things we have no control over.
Most things.
And I think that realizing that also puts you in a state of zen.
Yeah.
I've had moments of zen where I've been...
Did you ask him if...
I did.
Thank you. Oh, he did. I'm going into that now.
Yeah.
Jerk. Oh. I've had moments of zen that have been also related to vacation spots. You're on vacation. It's like, ah.
Yeah.
I've had moments of zen that are work-related, where things are just going so well. You have... No concerns and no cares.
Yeah.
And it's just like, this is great.
Yeah.
You're relaxing. You're whatever. Out with friends. Mm-hmm. I've also had moments of zen. One moment, I'll tell you one moment of zen in particular. I was visiting my friend in England.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, they drive on the other side of the road there.
What?
Right?
Mm.
Yes, they do.
Oh, my God. I was driving on the wrong side the whole time.
The whole time?
I didn't realize what... I'm just kidding.
Okay,
really
great.
Bad.
Yeah,
like Benny Hill joke.
That was. Pretty awful.
Benny Hill?
You don't know who Benny Hill is?
That's more running in and out of doors.
Yeah, I know, but... Like,
I don't think so, Gubna. You talk like a London town, Gubna and Benny, driving.
Okay, all right, we're done with that.
What are you talking about? That was crazy.
That was insane. I was over in England, and I'm the passenger in the car, and my friend is driving, and it was like every turn that he would make, left turn... It felt through my entire body that we were going to crash because we're like, oh my God, we're turning into the wrong. Oh, that's the right lane. That's okay. So like I had all this anxiety that was built up inside of me. And then we were driving down these little dirt roads, and these little dirt roads that have hedges that go above the height that you can actually see, and they are one-lane dirt roads. It was night. It was foggy. And I just came to this realization. I was like, you know what? There's nothing I can do about this anyway.
I have to let go.
And I completely let go, and I was fine.
Yeah.
I was totally fine. And I realized a moment of zen, even though my physical being could have been in danger. Mm-hmm. And I survived, obviously.
While you were on this dirt road, traveling at a high velocity, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was.
With hedges.
Yeah, and it was in one of those, was Mercedes G-Wagons?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah, love those.
Yeah, it was great.
Were there little children on broomsticks traveling on either side of you?
No, this is not has nothing to do with Harry Potter.
Gerard's been watching Harry Potter movies lately.
Yeah,
I know. I didn't mention anything about Harry
Potter. Okay, fine. Talk to me about broomsticks. No.
Yeah.
Have you been watching Harry Potter?
No. Oh, God. No, I haven't. No.
I've had moments of zen under, like, extreme duress. I've been close to the big D word a few times.
Now, okay, the moments of zen is because I think there's a difference between a moment of zen and actually just shutting down,
mm-hmm.
right?
Definitely.
Where you're like, you suddenly get that glassed over look.
Shock. Yeah. Shock.
Shut down. You turn, walk for the door, and you're gone. That's not zen, right?
Okay. No, that's not zen.
All right.
But I've had some moments where it's been grim circumstances for me where I'm like, well, here we are. And there's something, I mean, there's a whole spiritual, you know, sort of practice, not practice, but idea that enlightenment can come through spiritual practice, but it can also come through extreme suffering.
Yeah.
That a lot of people who have had extreme suffering in their lives have lost everything or whatever, had a lot of loss in their life or whatever the circumstances are, actually can attain enlightenment.
And I think it's because you achieve a different perspective.
Yeah.
Suddenly your range of concerns shifts. It broadens.
Yeah.
And you're like, I didn't know that down there could exist.
Yeah.
So suddenly my everyday life is, wow, it's great.
Pretty great.
You ever go to a third world country, it's that way.
Yeah. You come back and you're
like, I was in Kenya. You're like, holy crap. Mm. Like what they live with.
And they're living with it.
Yeah.
And they're alive.
Yeah, let's catch the cow patty that came out of that animal and let's smack it up against the wall.
Make our house.
Or burn it tonight for the fuel.
Yeah.
By cow patty, you mean horse shit.
No, not Brian. Horses. I mean actual cow
shit.
Cow shit.
It'd be really fucking weird if a horse shit and we called it a cow patty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or if a horse did in fact shit cow shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, it is a third world country. So.
No, the laws of nature don't really change.
Okay. Things don't shape shift.
Yeah, right. Not quite to that degree.
Says you. It's fine. Agree to disagree.
We'll go with that.
I had an experience once where I fell out of a tree from a very high height, and I was sure I was going to die. Like I thought I was paralyzed. I landed on my face.
Oh my
God. I fractured my cheekbone and broke my shoulder blade, which is the thickest.
So that's
bone.
Why that side of your face sags.
It's like, I broke my shoulder blade, which is the thickest. I actually fractured it. Like I had a 3-inch fracture.
Oh my God.
But that bone is like 1.25 inches thick. It's like your thickest bone. And I was lucky because that's where all my
weight hit
right on that bone. But I was messed up. I was knocked out and rolled down into this poison ivy bush, like unconscious. And when I woke up, I was like, oh, I'm fucking done. Like I woke up and was like, well, I can remember falling and thinking I'm done. I've had a few of these moments where I thought I'm done. Yeah. This one was the worst. I was like, I'm definitely
done. Now, hold on.
Done.
Let's sit in this for a minute here. So you're in the tree. Where were you?
I was at a summer camp.
Were you hunting somebody?
No, I wasn't hunting anyone. I was actually doing good. I was at a
they
summer
told
camp.
You to climb the tree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I took it upon myself to climb the tree. I was building a children's theater production of Shakespeare. Like we were doing
in the tree. Shakespeare in the tree.
Well, we were doing the kids were going to do this whole play underneath the tree.
Oh, okay.
So we had set up these portable stages. This is out in the middle of a state forest.
Is this in New Hampshire?
This is in Newburyport, across the river from Amesbury, where I'm
gotcha.
From. And so we put the stages under the tree. Mm-hmm. We're setting everything up, and they've made these huge Shakespearean pieces of fabric, like almost
oh, cool.
like medieval king kind of like flags. Gotcha. Do you understand what I'm
saying? Yeah, like tapestries.
Yeah, tapestry kind of stuff, right, to like build the set, and we're going to hang them for the tree.
Okay.
From the tree. And what they did was ingenious. They sewed, like, these things were long and thin. Kind of like my penis.
Not your penis, short.
Oh, that's right, small. It's short. Small.
It's small.
But it's thin.
But it's thin, right.
But these were long and, like, thin, right? But they were, like, 20 feet long, 4 feet wide.
Okay.
So they're pretty big.
Yeah.
And on the ends, they had sewed, like, loops.
Okay.
And then we put these pieces of tree, these logs, in through those sewed loops.
And just throw it over.
You throw it over these branches.
Nice.
And they hang there. They're counterweighted.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
So I climbed this big oak tree that is the centerpiece of the whole thing.
Oh,
and this is also to make a backstage.
This was summer camp.
This is summer camp.
So you were 28.
No, I was 34 years old.
Okay.
No, I was like probably 19 years old. I was in college.
All right.
I was acting at this theater company and also acting as like a counselor. And so they're having a dance class, so there are these two older real counselors. I was like a counselor in training kind of thing.
Okay.
There are these older counselors like holding a dance class under the tree on these stages with these 9-year-old girls as I start climbing the tree to hang these things.
Now, can we just paint this a little bit more detail? Were the instructors attractive instructors? Were you attracted to them at all?
Well, yeah. I mean,
I want to know if there was an air of, you know, embarrassment that could come with it.
Oh, that's all
Okay,
oh,
all right. Absolutely. Just checking. All right.
They were cool. They were really cool. Yeah. But they were like, you know, they were theater chicks.
Sure.
So, like, they were weird.
Right.
Shakespearean,
well,
in the woods.
Still,
theater chicks. But
something
they were great.
About that is attractive.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure, right.
And they were older than me, so I was definitely enthralled. And like, oh, my God.
And by older, what are we talking, 25?
No, probably 23.
Yeah.
You know, just out of
very
college.
Very wise.
Very wise. They can drink legally. They're bringing beer to the camp for after hours and all.
You're climbing.
So I'm climbing.
Yeah.
And I'm the guy that's worked construction, so of course I'm the guy.
You
and
know
I'm
what
fearless.
You're doing.
I'm fearless in general. I generally get myself way in over my head. And so I climb this tree.
Yeah.
And the trunk is so thick, it's one of those huge old oak trees. So we're not talking little branches. We're talking like big, giant limbs coming off of this thing. So I go up about 20 feet.
Yeah.
It's a tough climb. I'm bringing the thing with me, so I'm like climbing with one hand.
Now, this has been done before. They normally do it under this tree.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
And this is not, but usually there's a ladder. I come to find out there's like a ladder employed. We're not climbing the tree and doing this on our own.
Yeah.
And I did one successfully on one side of the tree.
That
and then
boosts
I go,
your confidence.
That boosts my confidence. I've handled it.
Yeah.
I'm doing it.
Yeah.
We're fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I go up to do the second one, and I shimmy out on this big limb. And it's over the stage, and it's 25 feet in the air at least, probably. And I got this giant honking piece of fabric with a log over my left shoulder. And there's a limb above me. And what I realized was if I just push really hard on that limb above me,
So you wedge yourself in?
I wedge myself in between these two things, and I can go out on the limbs.
Brilliant.
Literally.
Very smart.
And then I take the log in both hands. Now I am balancing. And the fabric is in front of me.
Yes.
And I go and up over my head with the log.
Yep. That big counterweight.
That big counterweight as it starts going back.
Right.
So I'm holding myself.
The fulcrum, right?
Yep.
You're pulling it away from
And I throw
yourself.
It over the thing. And as I throw it over the thing, there's like a little bit of like a pushback that generate.
Sure.
And a wind. That pushes the fucking fabric right into my face. Like, so this wind is like rattling the fabric in my face. And I just like, I'm like, holy fuck, I'm gonna fall. And like, I can remember being like, oh my God, I'm gonna fall. In a split second being like, okay, I have to run as fast as I can back down this limb to the main trunk of the tree.
Were you on your feet?
I was on my feet, yeah. I was standing.
I thought you shimmied out
there. No, on my feet. I shimmied with my feet.
Don't you shimmy with your like
no,
legs?
No, but when Greg shimmies, he just means walking.
I'm walking.
You walked out.
I walked out.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So I turn and start running. There's a class of 12 9-year-olds on a stage 25 feet below me at this moment.
So you're basically your body.
Yep.
Is probably at about 11 or 12 degree angle out
now.
But your feet are
running.
And
running.
You're trying to gain traction.
Yeah, to like just get.
Wile E. Coyote style.
Yes, literally. And you, like you described it, it's exactly right. I just start falling more and more off of this thing. And I yell, I'm going to fall. And I can hear everyone screaming below me. As they realize that I'm not kidding, because
screaming
huge,
and running, or
screaming and running,
because there's this huge
cacophony of noise up in the tree.
What was...
He had brought an entire horn section up there with him. That's the other problem.
I was like, boys, if anything goes wrong, make a cacophony of noise.
And this tapestry you put over that wasn't hooked in already.
You couldn't grab onto
that.
No. I mean, this all that you're maybe not understanding.
It was
a fucking thick, like, 4-inch log piece of wood, about 4-5 feet long, draped over the upper branch that was above me.
If I grabbed it,
it just would have gone over it. I would have fucking just fallen.
It would have slowed him for a couple seconds.
If I had had a knife in my teeth, I might have been able to sink the knife into the fabric and slide down, Gerard. I'm sorry I didn't think about that.
This was
a Shakespearean play.
Right. Yeah. Not a pirate. This is not Pirates of Penzance.
So here you go.
Here I go, running back towards the tree, giving as fair a warning as I can to all the chillins. Below.
That's very kind of you.
It was pretty heroic to yell I'm falling.
Yeah.
So I hear them all screaming and scattering, and now I'm on my own. And I just have way too much. I have way too far to go.
Yeah.
I'm 10 feet out on this fucking thing. And I don't make it to the trunk. And I fall off the limb.
Yeah.
And I kind of jump. Like, I'm like, all right, well, fuck it. At least I'm going to try to, like, get my feet under me and jump.
Sure.
But there are now 50... limbs below me that I'm going to have to fall through.
Oh my god.
So.
And are these like, these are giant limbs.
Yeah. These are huge limbs.
This tree's been around for hundreds of years.
This tree is not going anywhere.
Right. And has probably seen this injury occur
many times over.
Until the advent of the ladder.
Yeah.
And he thought that he wasn't going to see another one.
Yeah.
You know? And then here you come.
Here he comes.
That rascal.
And I had these, great shell toe Adidas, these white shell toe Adidas. Mm-hmm. They were my favorite shoes.
Mm.
And so I jumped after yelling, I'm going to fall.
Yeah.
Jumped down into the tree. And the last thing I really remember is hitting my cheekbone on another limb.
Okay.
And feeling like, whoa, I'm being cartwheeled.
Yeah, yeah.
Like so I basically jumped.
Yeah.
Hit my face on another limb and that cartwheeled me and shot both of my shoes off.
Oh my god.
And then according to eyewitnesses.
That could still speak afterwards.
Yeah.
Right.
According to eyewitnesses, I hit my face on that limb and my shoes went flying
off.
Oh
my god.
And I cartwheeled and crash landed onto the stage.
Oh my god.
Like face first. But the thing that was the genius part about it, the amazing.
So you landed on your shoulder.
Yes, I literally it was a miracle that I survived. I did like a cartoon crash face landing where my legs went like over my head.
Yeah,
like backwards, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh yeah.
But the way that I landed was my face went down to the side of the stage and my shoulder hit the stage before my face hit the ground. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, it took all of... It was like a stunt fall. If I could have planned a stunt fall, it would have been fine.
If you had been able to roll... Yeah. Well, other than the fact that the branch had smashed your face open.
Yeah. So, I just smashed my shoulder. But I was lucky because if I had landed on my head, I would have been dead.
When did you wake up?
Then I rolled down an embankment. So, I was unconscious. I was unconscious on the ground.
That's when you rolled through the woodwind instruments that were down there waiting for you.
I apparently kind of just rolled down this embankment because the tree
was banked, on a hill.
Yeah, banked down into a marsh.
Nice.
And so I rolled a couple times.
If only you had fallen into the marsh.
I know, it would have been fine.
Yeah.
But because of momentum, I just like crashed and this was all like a very fluid thing.
Oh, I'm sure.
It was like me running. So there's momentum, hitting a branch, counter-flipping, crashing, and then...
And you're also ragdoll at that point.
Yeah. So I wake up to screaming, complete chaos. and surrounded by 9-year-old girls and counselors. And the sun's in my eyes, and I'm in a bush.
Yeah.
And I'm in the middle of a fucking state park. And there's no help coming. Like, we're 2 miles into the woods.
This sounds like the beginning of one of these, like, Disney movies for girls, you know, where the Girl Scouts have to team like, together and carry out and save me.
Yeah. I might be exaggerating 2 miles. It was probably a mile.
Yeah, but help was on the way at that point. It just was going to take...
Well, not at that point.
No, not at that point. At me waking up, there are no... This is 1998. There are no cell phones.
Cell phones, aren't a big thing there.
But so you're not knocked out very long. You're just kind of stunned.
Well, he doesn't...
I don't know.
What, when you woke up, had they built the rest of the stage?
Yeah.
He wasn't out for very long.
Was there someone else in the tree finishing your job?
With a ladder.
Yeah. No, it was a couple minutes, I'm sure, I was out.
Sure.
And I was barely conscious when I came back.
Now, was your cheek, you said you smashed your cheek on a bough of a tree. Mm-hmm. Did your face explode?
No, it didn't. It was just a pressure wound. It was boom, pressure wound. And it was only a hairline fracture. Wow. So how I hit it was like a...
Lucky.
Did the fine folks at Adidas hear of this story and send you a new pair of shell toes?
They didn't, but they got them out of the marsh. They were like, they said that they flew like 20 feet. So I was shoeless, lying in a bush. The bush turned out to be fucking poison ivy.
Nice.
Swear to God.
That's awesome.
Kids were crazy. I was crying. I was panicked.
Of course.
Freaked out. And so, long story short, at this moment...
Yeah.
My legs were numb.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm dead. I'm fucking dead. I'm circling the drain here.
Yeah.
This was a moment where I was really, this literally shifted my perspective on life after this.
Mm.
I thought, well, this could go one of two ways here. I probably have some sort of internal destruction happening after this fall.
Yeah.
And my legs were numb. I thought I was paralyzed. I didn't want anyone to touch me or move me.
Right.
It was bad. And so... The finally, like an hour later, the ambulance, people came like traipsing through the woods with a neck thing.
Yeah.
And I had been injured a lot of times before then, but this time they were so serious.
Right, that it's
the paramedics
scared you as well.
Were so serious and they were cutting my clothes off and stuff. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, which led to me getting poison ivy all over my entire body, by the way, because they cut my clothes off.
Did they realize?
They didn't move you before they cut your clothes off. No, they didn't move me at all. They did the full, this guy's paralyzed. He fell from how high? Once they knew how high I had fallen, everyone's face got very serious.
Yeah.
So, but I was so lucky. I mean, I was totally, completely lucky not to break my neck on that one.
But you achieved a moment of zen in the bush of poison ivy.
Because I was like, man, it was like, and I use this analogy still, it was like being... When you're really sick, you're like, oh my God, why don't I love when I'm not sick? Why don't I just like enjoy not being sick?
That's like you're on your deathbed and you're like, why didn't I live a happier life?
You have those
life?
Thoughts instead of being like, why did I stress out about this? Or why was I worried about that? Yeah.
So they need to engineer a theme park ride where you go in and it takes you to a moment where you really honestly feel like you're going to
die.
And then you come out and you're like, man,
wow,
I love my life.
Yeah. And that was it. And once I realized that I wasn't going to be paralyzed or anything like that, it stayed with me.
So why aren't you a better person?
I don't know. I don't know. It sticks with you in certain ways. Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. Here's the truth.
Yes.
Me then is very different than me now. Me then is worried about what people think at a majorly high level.
Yeah.
Me before these types of accidents.
Sure.
I've had a few. But me before that, I was worried about what people think. I was worried about not getting in trouble. I was worried about how I looked and said what I was supposed to say and supposed to do and all that.
Right,
and that
shit
fell away.
Interesting.
So maybe that's why I'm not – because I clearly don't really mind speaking my mind and just saying what's on – you know, whatever.
Right. Right. I think if you had you not had those experiences and had shifted to where you are now, there's a good chance that we wouldn't be friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would not be doing what I'm doing. Right. I wouldn't be an actor.
Mm-mm.
I wouldn't be a performer. I would have just kept it really safe. I was going down a very certain road.
You would have been working on State Street in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? I'm
spending
very
a lot of money.
I'm very thankful he would for have that
been
oak tree.
Well, I'm not done about what he would have been doing.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
He would have been spending a lot of money and time drinking and on loose women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. drinking
taking,
on the women,
taking
beyond them,
taking biannual trips to Vegas.
Yeah,
doing
yeah.
a lot of screaming while he's crushing Bud cans over his skull.
Yeah, yeah.
And eventually settling down with a woman and getting married with someone he hates.
That's right. That's very true. And instead, I've lived a life of self-expression.
Yep.
Maybe not popular. I may not be very popular. I may not be. I'm not very popular. My friends think I'm assholes. Mm. Like, my girlfriend thinks I'm an asshole. She says
it's always a good sign.
I don't know what that means.
It means she's honest.
Yeah, she's honest. But, it's I mean, I'm being me.
Yeah.
It's a lot better that I'm coming off as an asshole as opposed to what, you know, what I'd be doing if
well,
I wasn't.
A genuine asshole is different than the below the surface asshole.
Yeah.
They're like all the nicest person in the world, and then you come to find out they're an asshole.
So. You can trust me. That's the thing. You can trust me.
That's true.
You know that I'm not going to bullshit.
Yeah.
You can trust me. Ladies, any ladies and gentlemen who are listening, you can trust me.
That's good.
Just trust me.
You're still an asshole, though.
Just trust me. I am. Just trust me.
I'd like to thank you, Gregory.
Oh, yeah. Story time.
On behalf of our listenership, that was an amazing story to hear.
I can't believe this was story time. It was story time. Ready.
If people want to seek out a little moment of zen themselves, they should find an oak tree, climb up about 25 feet.
Get in over their heads.
Grab a 35-year-old Shakespearean tapestry.
Yeah.
And then
run off of it at an angle.
Try to run off at an angle. You got it. Well, thank you, Gregory. On behalf of Robert DeShai and storyteller Greg Hoyt.
We never actually introed the show today, I guess.
No, I know.
We'll
just
stuck
talk.
With us.
People, I think, stuck with us. Really. I'm Brian Gerard, and we are the Shy Show. Yay!